Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us online. The message for today was recorded on Thursday, April 13th, 2017. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson.
Okay, so we've got a Peanuts cartoon here that is one of my favorites. We have Linus sitting there, and he's got his tongue sticking out. Lucy comes along, and Linus says, "Oh no, not again!" Lucy says, "What in the world is the matter with you? I'm aware of my tongue." "You're what?" "I'm aware of my tongue. It's an awful feeling. Every now and then, I become aware that I have a tongue inside my mouth, and then it starts to feel all lumped up and..." "That's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. I can't help it. I can't put it out of my mind. I keep thinking about where my tongue would be if I weren't thinking about it, and then I feel it sort of pressing against my teeth. Now it feels all lumped up again. The more I try to put it out of my mind, the more I think about it. Good grief. Oh no!" How to knock your block off in classic Lucy style.
Well, you know, you think about your tongue and it gets all puffed up feeling in your mouth. I don't know, I actually experienced that. I don't know if that's just me or not. It is pretty odd. But there's a Christian version of this. And the Christian version is thinking about your humility. You know, you become aware that you're humble, and then you're immediately starting to be proud of yourself for just how humble you are. And then you start to feel puffed up. And so then you realize that and you try to put that feeling of pride down. And then you're proud of yourself that you overcame the temptation to be prideful at your humility. And it just, the circle continues. So how do you become humble? If the second you try to become humble, you simply end up realizing how puffed up you are. Well, I think it's the same way that you overcome an awareness of your tongue. You just have to think of something else. The way that it happens for Christians is by looking at Jesus instead of looking at ourselves. We don't look at what we're doing so much as we just keep looking at Jesus, what he does, who he is, what he teaches. And we use all that grace that God gives us through all the means that God gives us grace, through our Bible study and our prayer and our, you know, Holy Communion. We use all that grace that God gives us in whatever way God gives it to us, and we strive more and more to become like Jesus. And when we're not paying attention to ourselves, when we're just paying attention to Jesus, then our ego kind of recedes into the background, and we decrease and Jesus increases. And so in this story from the Gospel of John, Jesus and his disciples just sat down to have supper. And we know they're nearly at Passover, and we're told that the devil had already put it in Judas's mind, or in Judas's heart, actually, to betray Jesus. And then we're let in on a few things that Jesus knew. It says, Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands. Jesus knew that he had come from God. And Jesus knew that he was returning to God. So I think what's going on here is it's like the gospel writer is saying, okay, before I tell you what Jesus did, I just want to make sure you remember it is who we're talking about. Let's look at the big picture. Let's look at this happening from a cosmic perspective. Remember I told you, the gospel writer was said in the beginning, chapter 1, the word of God, the one who was with God in the beginning, became flesh and lived among us. And this is that same one, the Jesus that is sitting, eating with his disciples. He came from God. He's going to go be with God again soon. This isn't just the teacher we're talking about. This is the Son of God. And so Jesus, the Son of God, pushes the pause button, declares a timeout on dinner, and he gets up from the table and he takes the servant position. He washes his disciples' feet. Now, it wouldn't have been all that uncommon for a host of a dinner to wash the feet of his guests if, you know, if you were poor or modest means and didn't have a servant who might normally do the job. Because washing a feet is an act of hospitality. It's the thing you do when your guests arrive and they come to your home and they've got dusty feet or muddy feet from walking on old Israel roads. And so perhaps to emphasize how urgent it is that Jesus show his disciples this thing, he doesn't do it at the beginning. He stops dinner. He gets up from the table, interrupts the regularly scheduled meal, and serves them. And it just struck me, Jesus doesn't just teach humble service. He is the humble servant. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, although he was in the form of God, and that could actually be translated, because he was in the form of God, this might tell us something about the nature of God. He didn't consider equality with God, being God, as something to be exploited, something to be used for his own self-interest, but he emptied himself of all of that, and he took the form of a servant, it says. We know the story. We know the extent to which Jesus is going to lay down his life. He's going to serve people to the point of laying down his life. He's going to love his disciples in the whole world he's going to love in the most incredible way. Wow, the only begotten Son of God is going to lay down his life for me and for you. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being willing to love me and serve me so much. And that's usually the part where we stop, isn't it? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example, and just as I have done, you also must do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. I mean, did you catch that? If Jesus, with all of the authority and power that has been given to him by God the Father, Jesus, the Son of God, if he is willing to lovingly set aside all of those rights and privileges that come with who he is, who am I to think I'm better than him to not do what he does? I mean, certainly I should be the least servant. I should be lower than Jesus. That's where humility begins. But I don't think that humility is actually the goal. The point is not literally that we wash each other's feet. I mean, although presumably that's a really powerful and challenging way to get the point across. We're not doing foot washing tonight, so y'all don't have to walk out. I thought about it, and I'm like, well, I'm going to have 20 people as it is. We don't have to scare them away. No. I think that humility is just the means to the end, and the end is love. And the reason I say that is because I think that humility does a few things for us. First, it makes possible a deeper relationship with God. You know, we humans tend to think we're pretty great. we're the dominant species on the planet Earth, right? And you know, then there's everything else that's pretty much like cockroaches, right? And you know, the low things. And we instinctively know how much greater we are than them, even though they know us sometimes. Like, we know that we're greater than the cockroach. And yet, humility teaches us to recognize that there is an infinitely greater distance, a bigger chasm between us and God than between us and the cockroach. I mean, that's how great God is. God is so far above all creation that the full greatness of God cannot even be thought. And yet, that immeasurably great God sees fit to come in the person of Jesus, to take the form of the servant. I tell you, I mean, people can maybe rightly accuse church of being boring at times, but the Christian story is anything but boring. It does not get any better than this. And so we understand our position before God, and that's the first step to recognizing our need for God, which brings us to a love for God. So humility can lead us to a deeper relationship with God, but secondly, humility opens the door to love for other people. Think about it. I'm sure you've met people who, you know, they just knew that they were better than you. They just knew it. And they knew that they were smarter or more athletic or more just more generally successful, more wealthy, whatever. And you know, this is someone who when they tell you tell them something about your life, you know, something you care about deeply, and they just like turn their nose up at it. And they move on and they talk to someone else who, you know, has achieved more in their life. How could that person possibly love you? Their pride keeps them from seeing you as a person and all of the virtues that you have. And no, God forgive us when we've been that proud person looking down on other people for some reason or another. I mean, that's how the world works. That's how the world looks at people. But Jesus' disciples are supposed to be different. Jesus says, this is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you love each other. What would it look like to obey Jesus there? It's about serving one another. It's about washing one another's nasty, icky feet, so to speak. But it's more than that, because a Christ-like act of service isn't just doing the required thing for somebody. It's valuing who that person is, just for who they are, in spite of their faults, to the point where that loving service flows. It just flows because you value that person so much and you want the best for them and you care for them. You know, it's about changing our emphasis from all the things that are wrong with that person to seeing what's right with that person. It's keeping our eyes off of ourselves and fixing them on Christ in our Christian brothers and sisters. On the other side of your little comic, there's an antidote for humility, for pride, I guess I should say. This is an old prayer of the Catholic Church that just destroyed me. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it begins, O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, Jesus. And then down, from the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. And last line, that others may be holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.